I think I've switched on. Is that? Am I registering at your end?
Should be.
Can you folks hear me okay? Great, that's excellent, thank you. It's good to be back with you again. See so many familiar faces here. Following my invitation here, I prayed about what would be right and eventually ended up speaking to Wayne. And it was interesting in the conversation with Wayne that Wayne confirmed what I felt the Lord had laid on my heart, and that was to look at faith in some depth. I understand now that you're stepping out in faith this year. Is everybody nodding? So having spoken to Wayne, I said to Wayne, what the Lord had laid on my heart was Hebrews chapter 11. You'll be relieved to hear it's not the whole of chapter 11. We haven't got time. But I want to look at the first six verses, and I want to then touch upon one or two other important verses that link into this whole stepping out in faith theme that you're following this year, and in fact, we should all follow on a daily basis. You see, each of you live by faith. You live by faith that when you stand up and sing, that you're safe to sit back down again on the chair that you're sitting on. You're exercising faith in a physical object. You exercise faith when you get in the plane that it's going to take off and land safely. So you put your faith in the structure of the plane, and you put your faith in the pilot and the crew to be able to fly you from A to B safely. People seem to think that it's only Christians who walk by faith. And we need to remind them sometimes when we engage in conversation with them, actually they live by faith too. Because they don't see it and wouldn't use that terminology. But it's a way of relating to people to say, no, actually, yeah, we do live by faith. So do you. And then we can lead them into to understanding that there's a difference between the faith that they exercise in the physical world around them. Because faith is defined, and I went to the dictionary for this one, as a strong or unshakable conviction in something or someone. And it's a lovely tool to use in evangelism when you talk, John, you're seeking to build a bridge, that you can say to people, your faith is in what you see around you, the visible, the tangible. And so's ours. But you see, our faith takes a leap beyond that. Our faith is in someone. Our faith is in God. And that's the major difference between us and those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So use it as an evangelistic opportunity. It's a great tool to use because it's simple. And actually people understand what you're talking about. For us as Christians, the heart of this whole topic of faith is very, very simple. Our faith rests on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the extent that we know and understand him is the extent to which our faith can be exercised. If we trust in the character of God as we see wonderfully displayed in the life of Jesus, then we will rest assured that Jesus' promises to us are true and strong and faithful. Jesus stands by his word because he is the living word of God. And the more that we begin to grow closer to Christ, the more that we begin to allow him, as Jem has demonstrated very graphically this morning, the more we can trust our lives with God, the greater our faith will grow, because we will give him opportunities to do what he wants to do in our lives, sometimes very unexpectedly. Now, why is it important to think about this whole topic of faith? What is it that prompted Wayne and the leadership to think this is something that this church needs to be focusing on, not just for a Sunday, but day by day, because faith is an everyday expression of who we are and our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. Faith is central to our relationship with God. And the Bible has an awful lot to say about it, and you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to be looking at the hundreds of verses, but I will pick on a few. Let's have a look now, just very briefly, if you've got your Bibles with you. If you turn to chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And we'll touch upon that one. And then the author of the letter to the Hebrews brings in a few examples, and we're just going to look at a few of them. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Verse 6 is one of the most key verses in chapter 11. What's verse 6 saying to us this morning? You need to break it down. Let's just look, pause and just look at it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That tells us that faith in God's sight is so important for us in our relationship with him and with others. Why? Because anyone who comes to him, we prayed this morning. What are we praying? Who are we praying to? Do we expect answers to those prayers? If you don't bother to pray. You see, you're exercising faith in the mere fact that you prayed this morning and that you pray in your everyday lives. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. So what you're saying by the very act of prayer is that you believe, as verse 6 says, that God exists. Well, non-Christians believe that there's a God of some kind, so that doesn't make us any better than them. But the God that we believe exists is the God who wants a personal relationship with us. He's the God who comes in and cleans up our lives. He's the only one who can do it. So when we pray to him, we're exercising faith that he's there, that he hears, and that he delights to respond to our prayers. Now, we won't get tangled up in the way that God responds to our prayers, because that's another topic altogether we could spend another morning looking at. But suffice to say, we exercise faith and we trust and believe that God does answer our prayers. How and when is his business? All that God says is, bring yourself to me, pray to me, because I know who you are, I know where you are, and I know what's best. We may pray for A, but God might think that B is actually the answer we need to hear. But we exercise faith every time we pray, because we follow the command of verse 6. We believe that he exists. We believe that he responds to us as individuals. So although you prayed corporately this morning, you were all praying for individuals that you know, that God's placed on your heart, that you care for. And you know, deep down, that God's listening. Let's see how he responds to our prayers. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 said, the righteous will live by faith. And you think, well, I'm not very righteous at times. But we are, because in the sight of God, we are clothed with the person of Christ. We have his righteousness given to us. So when God looks at us, yes, God knows that there's stuff within us that needs putting right. There's things that we need to deal with, things that we need to let him get to grips with. But actually, when God looks at each one of you, he sees a righteous person, because you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The moment that you gave your life to God and asked Jesus into your life, he clothed you with his son's righteousness. Doesn't matter how you feel about yourself, you might not feel worthy of putting a prayer before God, whether for yourself or somebody else. God doesn't see that. He sees the image of his Son being reborn and remade in each one of us. By faith, we know that God's at work in our lives. Follow verse 6. God is faithful to his people. You are clothed, each one of you, with the righteousness of Christ. You can't come before his throne of grace unless you are clothed in that righteousness of Jesus. I find that incredible. The moment that we were all made a new creation, we were given the righteousness of Christ. And God's business is working out that in each of our lives. I find that really exciting. It's not what I can do, it's what he can do for me. I need to let him. So faith is the foundation that gives us the confidence to stand in this life despite all the knocks and bumps that we experience. Thankfully, life is not all knocks and bumps. Life is a lot of blessings and a lot of good things. Now, the author to the Hebrews is very good. We've got the Hall of Fame, as Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to. But I want to take you now, if you've got your Bibles, just turn with me, would you, very briefly, to James chapter 2. James has an awful lot to say about faith, and he was criticised by some of the old church leaders who couldn't understand what James was really getting to. They thought James had gone off track a little bit. Because James says very clearly, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good's that?" he says. "In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Strong words from James. "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that," he says, "and shudder. You foolish people, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" And then you notice this link back to Hebrews. It was almost as if James had a copy of Hebrews alongside him. "Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see," he goes on to say, "that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures that were fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." Now, before we go any further, before I get shot in the pulpit, let me make it very plain the difference between Hebrews and James. There is no contradiction. You've got one set of scriptures saying that we are saved by faith alone, and then it appears that James is contradicting that and says, well, you've got to demonstrate that. What James is saying is we are saved by faith alone. He's not contradicting the teachings of Jesus or Paul. What James is saying is, if you have faith to believe in God, show me the outworking of that faith. He said even the demons have faith that there's God. They know God's there. They know better than we do. But it doesn't change their lives. It doesn't do anything. James is saying, if you really, really believe that God is there, and that God loves you, and he cares for you, don't keep it a secret. Share it. Let your faith become evident. Because the world won't see any difference. You could be the most faith-filled person in the world, and nobody would know any different. Unless your faith leads you to do something that demonstrates it, that shows people James is very basic. It's one of those that people struggle with sometimes. Salvation cannot be earned. It's given to us. It's accredited to our account, if you like. James says, 100% agree with that. And with that salvation that comes by faith, there must be an outworking of that faith, because that's how God wants to show the world that he's real, that he's here, that he's present, and he wants us, his people, to show the world that by the faith that we exercise in the God that we trust and believe in, our lives are being changed. And therefore, we are a great witness to those that are around us. So faith is the evidence, if you like, of our commitment to God. That's what James is trying to say, being very practical. Now, what does faith mean in your lives? We talk about faith and somehow it seems to sit out there. It's somebody else. Or faith is something that we sort of, it's a bit intangible. It's a bit sometimes difficult to get to grips with. What benefits do we gain by having faith in God? So I thought I'd look at the scriptures for that. If you'd like to turn with me, we'll just have a quick look at Matthew chapter 6. I want to show you one of many benefits of faith for you as an individual. Because faith has to have an outworking in our lives. What benefit is there? Well, Jesus comes up with a really good one. Matthew chapter 6, we're looking at verse 25. Did you know that I'm going to show you that faith is an antidote to worry? Because you all worry, didn't you? Well, I hope you do, because I'd feel a bit odd otherwise. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, says Jesus. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was arrayed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the field of the grass, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. See the connection? Jesus says that we are sometimes of little faith in our day-to-day living. O you of little faith, says Jesus. Do not worry. See the connection. From faith, telling us that sometimes our faith is so little, Jesus says, and the evidence of your faith being so little is you worry. Jesus says, goes on to say, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And notice this next bit. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is saying, God provides. Trust him. Have faith in him. But then he teaches us in one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, get your priorities right. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Notice the righteousness again. And all these things will be added to you as well. What a lovely thought, isn't it? Faith gives us an antidote to worry. To needless worry, I hasten to add. Because we will all worry about some things, ill health, jobs and all the rest of it. Of course we have a concern about it. Jesus is saying, that's legitimate. I've got no problems with that. But is your worry disproportionate to the faith that should be living in you, should be living and active? Because I'm giving you an antidote to needless worry, says Jesus. So don't be of little faith. Just going to look at, just turn back a page or two from where we were. You see, Hebrews chapter 10 also has an awful lot to say about faith. In fact, the NIV, very helpfully, from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, right the way through to chapter 13 and verse 25, is all about faith. And I hadn't seen this connection. So I'm very grateful that you invited me to come and chat to you this morning, because I learned something. I put another verse into context. You see, one of the memory verses, I won't embarrass Val by asking to come up and read it to you without her Bible. But one of the things that Val and I do is we have memory verses. And this is one of them. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, that's why you're here this morning, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Those words are written in the context of the Hall of Fame verses about faith. So you meeting here this morning is an exercise of daily faith. You meeting together is an exercise of fellowship. You're encouraging one another. Jeremiah, I thought it took great courage to share what you shared this morning. You see, one of the ways I think that James encourages us to demonstrate faith in action, because faith, if it's true faith, builds up other people. That's why those verses, I've come to realize, only very recently, are written into that Hall of Fame about faith. When you share answers to prayer, it does you good, but I bet your cotton socks it does everybody else some good too. So do you see the connection between living out your day-to-day faith and the opportunities to share it? Now, I know some of you are shy flowers, aren't you? You just sit there and you think, oh, I can't say anything. Oh, it's only a small answer to prayer, you know. It was, share it. Encourage one another in the testimony of your life that God's faithfulness and answers to prayers in your life, and it may be small ones, it may be bigger ones. You'll encourage one another. You will build up each other's faith as you encourage one another. Because somebody will be sat here this morning thinking, oh, I couldn't do what Gemma did. Yes, you could. If you trust that God is at work in your life, if you're going to demonstrate to yourself and to other people that faith is real and it works, share it with each other. You're stepping out in faith this year. It's one of the greatest ways to step out and step on in faith if you share with one another these answers to prayer. I think it's one of the best ways, because it's real. You see it in other people's lives and you think, wow, if God can answer that prayer, perhaps my concerns, my worries really can be shared. Perhaps I can trust God with this. Perhaps it isn't too big for God to deal with. Well, if he can answer that prayer, perhaps he's listening to me. Might be for yourself, it might be for somebody else. Trust God. Step out in faith. Lovely chapter in Luke chapter 17. It's a chapter about forgiveness, amongst other things. And Jesus is teaching the disciples everyday living and how to relate to one another. And he talks about the brother sinning against you, and if he comes back to you seven times in a day, forgive him every time. Have you ever noticed what the disciples' response was? Lord, increase our faith. Have you ever noticed, though, they didn't say give us faith, because Jesus knew they had faith. They knew they had faith. They said, increase our faith. The disciples acknowledged that what Jesus was asking of them was impossible for men and women to do. Forgiveness is an incredibly hard thing, Gemma. And I thought, you must have been reading my notes. Increase our faith. A legitimate request of God. He will do it. Let me just take you now just to couple of more practical points, because that's what I want to leave you with this morning. Just two more verses, if you'll just bear with me. I just want you to, I'm just going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. We trusted God the moment we invited him to come into our lives, by faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, which is what James is not contradicting, so that no one can boast. Notice that link of grace and faith. Now, if you read the commentaries, the Greek doesn't tell us whether the gift that Paul is talking about is the gift of grace or is it the gift of faith. Most commentators think it's both. That grace and faith come to us at the same moment. The grace of God in calling us to himself is accompanied by the gift of faith. Because without faith, the Bible tells us, we can't please God. So how would God ask us to please him if he didn't help us to do it in the first place? So the gift of grace is accompanied by the gift of faith for us to live by. For we are God's workmanship. Notice now we're going back to James, because the next bit says, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. See, faith and good works are linked together. Faith saves. The evidence of your faith is the good works that you do. Talk about the good works that you do. Build one another up in faith. Go out and share together in faith your testimonies. Because God has prepared those good works for you in advance. Just want to make one comment on that, those verses I read. God's workmanship. You are a work of art that God's working upon every day of your lives. You are unfinished pieces of masterly art that God's creating. Every one of your lives, God sees, and he's working and he's getting in amongst us. He's sorting out some of the things in our lives that don't honour him, in order that we shine a bit more each day for his son. You are works of art in creation. God looks at you and sees his son and smiles and says, wow. Bit more work to do yet, but well, you know, got a lifetime to get on with it. How does faith reach the world? The Christian faith, very simply, in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, quite rightly, that context is the context of preaching. But can I say to you, I think it also applies that each one of you is a preacher in your own right. You may not be called to come up into the pulpit, but you are called to witness for Christ. So when you go out on your day-to-day lives and you talk about how God has touched you or he's answered a prayer for in somebody else's life, you are sharing the gospel of Christ. People are hearing that God is alive and he's real and he cares and he answers prayers. Your testimonies, your sharing of answers to prayer, don't just build up the congregation. They also challenge the people out there who are desperate to hear that there's a God who loves them and cares for them. So folks at Twinning, can I just encourage you this morning, continue every day to step out in faith. It is a daily activity and God is with us. May he bless his word to us this morning. Amen. And I think we have one song, Sally, to finish off, Be Thou My Vision.